You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Keep doing what you're doing, man. Just don't quit your day job.
Are you talking to me? You circling it back around to me? You guys done talking trash about me, or are we going to circle back around?
Oh, gee, I thought John dropped off. So yeah,
No. I'm just...
I'm going to go so angry Jim Rome on you, Brian. It's going to be ridiculous.
Jordan made some good points, and that was cute.
Who, me?
Well, you're real handsome. Your eyes look real nice today in that jersey, Brian. Tell you that right now.
And bring you some more devastation and more knowledge and more fun facts about...
Did you just promise
tonight
that we're going to go devastate all of our listeners?
Good evening, Packer Nation. Welcome back to another rousing rendition of Packs of the Future podcast. As always, I am your host, John Jameson. Lovely, lovely week when the Packers win. Especially Lambeau Field, the hallowed grounds. Sacred place where greats have played. And Aaron Rodgers was great on Sunday. The team played very well on Sunday. No complaints on my end. I got Dusty Easley
hey.
And Brian Fonfara with me.
John.
Dusty Easley was at the game.
I was at the game. We made the trip up, man. Made the trip up from Kentucky. It was incredible. Just incredible.
I'm jealous, number one. I don't even know if I should be saying this because it kind of makes me feel like a baddish person. But I had opportunity from my dad who said that my good friend is selling his four season tickets to every single remaining home game. And they're at the 50-yard line, 13 rows up, for face value. And I can't find myself wanting to go right now. How terrible is
John,
that?
John, that's terrible, man.
Delete
it's
your
bad.
Life, John.
It's bad.
Delete
I told
yourself.
You it's bad.
I mean,
feel bad about it.
I mean, the thing for me, like, it was cold. And, you know, we'll get into it a little bit. You know, obviously they're not totally out of the playoff picture, but in my mind they kind of are. Or they could be. So I kind of wanted this game with, like, zero expectations. Like, I wanted to, you know, obviously, you know, we kind of talked about last year we went to that Saints game, which was the first game of the Hundley era. Mm. And I've told a bunch of people this.
Era.
Like, that was the six-game Hundley era. That was not only was it an ugly game, and not only was it a loss, and not only did it kind of dash hopes for the rest of the season because, like, oh, well, Hundley doesn't look very good. It was also kind of cold. It was kind of rainy. But at the end of the day, I didn't care that much because I was in Lambeau and I was watching a Packers game with you gentlemen. That's kind of how I felt this past weekend was, like, win or lose. I mean, if I had gone to the Cardinals game, maybe I'd feel a little different. But I went into this game thinking, listen, man, it doesn't matter too much if they win or lose. Like, in my mind, the kind of the playoffs anyway, kind of takes the pressure off. You're still seeing a December game in Lambeau. It was cold. You could see your breath. I mean, just it happens to me. I've seen four games up there. Every time I walk out to my seats and you catch that glimpse of Lambeau, I just stop for a second.
Sacred
it's just
ground.
Amazing.
It
looks incredible. It feels incredible. You just like all the heroes of Green Bay played on this field.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's something to that, whether they're in the playoff hunt or not. So yeah, I any chance I can have to get up there and go to a game, which is not very much. I absolutely, and granted, I'm in a different situation, John. I'm further away than you are, but I cherish every
time,
opportunity I can get up there.
Every time you come up, you are welcomed with the most open of arms.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure. It was a pleasure having you in my state. I'm sorry I didn't get to see you. Number one.
Yeah, kind of a whirlwind trip.
I felt your presence near. I'll put it that way. Brian.
Yo.
Fonfara.
Yo.
Hi, buddy.
Hi.
I didn't even get to watch the game live. I was skiing on Sunday.
Oh, skiing.
So, I watched it when I got home.
Did you have a nice white Russian on the hill?
No, but I went to dinner with my wife on Friday, and I had a white Russian for dessert. So, thank you for asking. But no, my Christmas present from my wife this year was new skis, because I had skis that were probably about 15, 16 years old, and they were just
bet.
Done.
GG bet.
Yeah, good going. So we got out to the mountain. We went to Keystone, had an awesome day of skiing. I kept the score a secret. I didn't see the score. I had no idea what happened in the game by the time I got home. And then I watched a replay of it. So it was live to me. So it's pretty sweet.
That's rare that you can actually make it through without hearing it.
For sure, yeah.
It almost never works out. Like,
that's impressive.
I've pulled it off a couple times in my life. Usually I accidentally see the score. Every once in a while I'm like, I see it, but it's really, really quick, and I can kind of convince myself that what I think I saw wasn't what I saw, so I'm like, you know, I clearly saw 28-13 Packers, but that's probably not what it actually said. I don't think it is,
yeah,
so.
Absolutely.
But this one was a complete surprise, so it was great.
You're at an advantage, though, living out of state.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Big time.
I will tell you that.
Big time.
Because you do in the home state. And
it's not going to happen.
I was going to say that, and you're right. It's just not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. I remember one time there was a Packers game on while I went to the last Brewers game of the year. So Sunday afternoon. And I told my entire family, like a whole bunch of us went. We went tailgating and everything. I was like, guys, I know the game is on right now. Just don't say anything. I'm going to watch it when I get home. It's on DVR and everything. My nephew, who was probably 6 at the time, goes, "The Packers won 27-17. Like, why the hell would you do that? Like,
oh,
you little ass.
Man. Have you gotten him a Christmas present since?
No. Of course not.
There you go.
John,
every
why would you buy a
like,
Christmas present?
I love
present.
You, Uncle Brian. And I'm like, yeah, shut up.
I don't know why you'd buy a Christmas present for someone who is 6 feet underground now, John.
Ooh.
Boom!
On the inside of Brian's heart, that's where he is. Unbelievable. That's so freaking amazing, dude. Well, boys, it's always, always, always nice to hear your voices. I felt like it was a little bit. But we're back. We're doing it.
Yup.
Packers picked up the win.
Yup.
And you know it's tastier than victory sometimes? Beef jerky.
True. And guys, I know where you can get some awesome beef jerky. Do you guys know about this yet, John? Dusty, have you heard about him?
Yes.
I have heard rumblings of a great beef jerky.
Sioux City Jerky. Some of the best jerky ever, ever, ever. Seriously. Guys, they use only the finest ingredients, from the beef and pork to the spices and other natural flavorings. And they have bacon jerky too, by the way. Check it out. Everything is made in the U.S.
It's so good.
And a portion of each sale goes to the Children's Miracle Network, so you're supporting a good cause, as well as a USA company. Christmas time is right around the corner, and it's not too late to order some and put it in somebody's stocking or just wrap it up. If certain friends and family are listening, you'll be getting some. Hint, hint. So, yeah, buy some. SiouxCityJerky.com. There's a link in the description below. Pick some up today.
I mean, guaranteed to get it by Christmas for sure, right?
For sure.
Nope. That's what I'm talking about. Beef jerky time. Get some. Boys, this is my time. It's time for me to host a freaking coin toss.
Do it.
I feel like it's been ages since I've actually been able to do this, so.
I remember when we first changed the format to where you had to participate, and you were all gung-ho about it, and now every week it's like, guys, I haven't hosted for like 6 weeks. It's my turn.
Yes, I've broken this down many times, but I just feel like you guys absolutely crush it when you guys go at each other. So,
well, yeah, but then we want those easy wins over you, man.
Yeah, that's the big thing. Except I feel like I haven't won in like a year, so I don't have easy victories anymore.
If you actually feel that way, I will keep that in mind.
I do feel that way, really and truly, John. It makes me sad at night,
dude.
I'm trying to. I was trying a new tactic here, Brian.
I have a very compassionate heart. I have a very compassionate heart.
Oh,
so.
You know, I have two kids, and it's just really hard for me to think about the Packers and come up with good arguments.
Oh,
I'm so very tired.
Let's
and,
go.
Yeah, I should have brought that up. My kids are sick lately, too. That's a good point, Brian. Yeah, John, all that stuff he said, too.
Things are going really poorly at work. I'm about to get demoted and maybe even fired.
If you guys didn't get the memo by now, this is... All those things are true.
You
have to take coin toss.
Brian's killing everything. All that's true.
Arch enemies finding themselves going mano a mano to see who comes out on top. Like I said, I love when Dusty and Brian do this. Question number one. Guys, this is pretty much, in my mind, do or die right now. It is going to Chicago, needing to go undefeated the rest of the season to even sniff the playoffs. Plus having help from other teams. But obviously you have to win on Sunday. We've seen the Packers pull off some miracles. Even in recent memory, there's been some amazing Packer moments that I think that many of us will never forget. And is this year going to be one of those years? Case in point, Brian.
Yep.
If I flip the coin and it's heads, we're parting the sea, man. Going straight to the Super Bowl.
Straight to the Super Bowl? Oh, man.
here we go. It is tails. Brian, season's done.
I mean, there's no Aaron Rodgers soundbite. There's no RELAX. There's no
Ooh.
Run the table. So, like, what are we supposed to go off of here?
Wow.
I don't really need to do more of an argument than that, but I will.
Wow.
So I'll say what the Packers – the help that the Packers need is actually really reasonable at this point. The Vikings are struggling. They have a couple tough games to finish out the season, so they could very well lose twice. You look at, like, the Panthers, the – who else is it? The Redskins, the Eagles. I think there's one more that have to lose one more game. And, like, they all have tough games ahead, so it's not out of the question. The biggest thing is the Packers have a lot to overcome internally. They have to overcome the fact that they got their head coach fired mid-season. They have to win two road games when they haven't won a road game all season. They're 0-6 on the road. They just have a lot to overcome internally. They have three really tough games. Well, I guess two really tough games ahead and then the Jets. But the Jets is on the road, so I can't really pencil that into the win right now. So... while I think the help that they need is very realistic, I don't see them winning the last three. And I will say I said the same thing about run the table, so you don't have to listen to my opinion because I was wrong about that, but I don't think I'll be wrong this time.
Dusty, sway me.
He doesn't think he's going to be wrong, but he is wrong because he's Brian and he's rarely right. He is rarely right. I mean... okay, first off, where can you...
Well,
where
not
you
rarely,
wrong,
seldom, where, but not rarely.
Where are you wrong? Let's start with the places you are wrong. So, you said the Packers have two tough games coming up. Two of their... that's incorrect. They have one. They have one tough game, because you've got the Bears away, you got the Jets away, and you got the Lions at home. Are you telling me that the Lions, the Detroit Lions, in this current state, in Lambeau... is a tough game. You know, Matt Stafford has not eclipsed 300 yards since the Seattle game midway through the season. You know what he did against Arizona last week? He put up 101 yards. Matt Stafford's been terrible. He's been bad. I'll take it from a man who owned him in fantasy this year. Matt Stafford has had a garbage season. Just a garbage season as far as putting up numbers. Like, he's not good. He's not been good, and then he also lost Golden Tate, and then he's been worse since he lost Golden Tate. So that's not a hard game. So you basically have the Bears game, and that's it. That's all you got. And like you said, the rest of the path is fine. You need the Panthers, Eagles, and Redskins all must lose at least one. And there's losses in that. The Panthers have to play the Saints, the Eagles have to play the Rams, and the Redskins have to play the Jaguars, Titans, and Eagles. They're going to drop at least one of those because... they're starting either Mark Sanchez or Josh Johnson or someone else they're going to sign off the street in the next 2 weeks. And then the big one, like you said, I'm going to leave the Seahawks out because the Seahawks have to lose their remaining ones, and that's not going to happen. The Vikings have to lose two. They got the Dolphins, the Lions, and the Bears. Given the way the Dolphins looked, I mean, I think the Dolphins are a feisty team, like, and the way the Vikings looked, seeing them lose against the Dolphins and the Bears, that's not crazy. So, yeah, I mean, all that being said, the Packers do have to win out. That's going to be tough. They need all this stuff to happen, but everything broke their way this week. Everything broke their way, and if you want to look for a galvanizing moment, you look at Randall Cobb throwing a man into the first row of the seats during a brawl this past week. There's your galvanizing moment, buddy. Non-believer. Judas.
Man, I didn't say there wasn't a galvanizing moment. I said there wasn't a soundbite. Don't put words in my mouth.
I choose to hear what I
want
to hear.
You guys, this is who I want doing the coin toss, and this is why. What we just heard might be the best coin toss of all time. Ryan, unbelievable job. You had me at the opening. Where's the phrase? Unbelievable point. Dusty. Attacking the other points that Brian stupidly wanted to say after he said that. I don't understand. I don't understand, but it's fine. Dusty. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Point awarded.
Yes.
Well done.
All right.
You guys, there's your pity point that you begged for before the coin toss even started.
Well,
keep it going, dude.
I already set up the pity point, and then I was mean Dusty. To you. So both those things work.
Dusty, I'm flipping the coin.
Yes, John.
If it's heads, we're keeping Clay Matthews. If it's actually, scratch that. I'm way off right here. I'm going to flip the coin. You're choosing between Clay Matthews and Randall Cobb.
Okay.
Who are we keeping? If we have to keep one of them, who should we keep? Flipping the coin, and if it's heads, it's Matthews. If it's tails, it's Cobb. Heads. Matthews.
Yeah, I mean, we're keeping Matthews. I mean, you know, he's older in age. You know, he is 33, whereas Cobb is 29. But this is an area, I mean, that area on defense, that outside linebacker, inside linebacker, whatever, I mean, they've been struggling to kind of fill that role, for a very long time. And, you know, Matthew's numbers are down. Clearly he's not the player he once was. He's 33 years old. He's had countless injuries. You know, he sat out time. He's not putting up the numbers he once was, but if you watch him, he is still just a hugely important part of this defense. One that I don't think they can afford to lose. They've got young guys. I kind of think I don't know what's going to happen. I kind of think Nick Perry is not going to be around next year. I'm kind of getting that feeling that's not going to happen. You need some veteran leadership out there. You need someone. I think the most important thing here that they don't have, as much as I like Blake Martinez, and you know, if Jake Ryan is able to come back, or Oren Burks kind of fills into that role a little bit. One thing that those guys don't do that Matthews can do, is that I haven't seen them able to do anyway, is just blow up a play. It's just put your head down, you put your shoulder down, and you ram it into a blocker and you blow everything up. Matthews can still do that. He's smart. He's a very smart player. He's a very instinctive player. And he still has a little bit of that burst as well. So while I don't know if the sack totals are ever going to be there, I still think he's a hugely important part of this defense, and one that I think Pettine is going to fight to keep him on. I think he fits really well into what Pettine likes to do. And so I just think... Yeah, I mean, you guys know how much I love Randall Cobb, but I think if given the choice between the two and what we've seen on both sides of the ball, yeah, I think Matthews is the guy, absolutely.
Brian, Cobby?
Dusty's suffering from a little bit of recency bias here because Clay Matthews actually had a good game on Sunday, and I think we'd all just kind of forgotten what that looked like, so he's just getting a little carried away, and it's understandable, Dusty, but I'm going to keep a level head here, and I'm going to go with Randall Cobb. There's your attack. Done. Okay, so...
That was a lame attack, though.
Why don't you let me talk? Anyways, a few years back, Greg Jennings is a free agent. Rodgers wants to keep him. We let him walk. Fast forward a few years, James Jones is a free agent. Rodgers wants to keep him. We let him walk. Fast forward a few years, Rodgers wants to keep Jordy Nelson around. We cut him. He's in Oakland now. Probably not having the time of his life, but he's there. You gotta keep a friend for him. Rodgers' biggest complaint year in and year out is his timing and his chemistry with these young receivers and how that kind of throws off the entire offense. Keep at least one guy that he knows always where he's going to be, and he can get the ball to him and he can rely on Randall Cobb to catch the ball. That's not something that you really have in rookie receivers. As much as I like Equanimeous and Marquez, you keep a friend for him. And he can come back really cheap, and it really won't hurt your cap situation. And you have a good, versatile wide receiver who can go inside, outside, line up at running back and stuff. All this for a new head coach slash offensive coordinator. That's a dangerous weapon in the hands of somebody who actually knows how to use it. So, like, thinking, you know, if Josh McDaniels is our next head coach, he knows how to use players like that. And I think Randall Cobb could do really well. Only concern is Cobb staying healthy. But when he's healthy, he's shown even this year that he can still contribute and do that in a major way.
Brian.
John.
You took it?
I took it.
Well done. Well done. I'm realizing as the side of the coin falls that Dusty was pitted against his man. And I'm sure that was...
It was a little unfair.
Yeah.
Dusty. Oh! Just asking for every bit of pity you can find.
It's just go! I got like 3 hours of sleep last night because of my kids. Do you understand, Brian? Because I'm like...
Yes!
God, boys, you're the worst.
This has been an amazing, amazing point, Dusty. You guys are at it, at each other. I love it. There was some news coming out of the town of that team that needs to lose a couple games for
Truth.
Us. that they have fired their offensive coordinator, who just so happened to be a potential candidate to come into Green Bay and take over the role of head coach. We're talking about John DeFilippo. Does John DeFilippo being fired change your mind on him being the next head coach of Green Bay? Brian, heads, yes. Tails, no. It is heads. It does change your mind, Brian.
Okay, so it changes my mind. Like, this guy was never my favorite candidate for being head coach, but he had to be a candidate at least. He was a major part of running an offense that, with a backup quarterback, won a Super Bowl last year. You know, he ran a pretty good offense when he was an offensive coordinator in Cleveland, and we know how hard that is to do. He's worked with Mike Pettine, so you know that chemistry is there. So there are factors that you really can't ignore for him being a candidate for head coach. Again, not my favorite, but yesterday, if you would ask me, I'd say he should at least get an interview. That changes now. I'd still be interested in bringing him in to the coaching staff if he wanted to be the quarterback's coach or something like that, but you get fired from a division rival, from an offense that you're running with a new quarterback and everything. The optics around hiring that person to be your head coach, like, we've made jokes in the past about how the Vikings just sign anybody that used to play for Green Bay. you know, they signed they signed Darren Sharper, you know, just guys like that. Like, oh, you're just picking up our garbage again. For us to go and go one step way further, like, this is a person they couldn't even finish a season with, and now he's our head coach. The optics alone on that are just awful, and you just can't do that. So, no, yeah, I've changed my mind. I wouldn't even interview him for the head coaching job now.
All right, Dusty, you pro.
I mean, Brian, I agree with it. The optics wouldn't look good. I mean, to me, that's the only downside of this is, like, the optics. But, I mean, really, the Packers should not care about how this looks. They should care about getting the man for the job. And you look at kind of why he got fired, what kind of got him fired. To me, it kind of comes down to two different things. One, it comes down to Mike Zimmer. I like Zimmer. I think Zimmer's a great coach. His players seem to like him. He also just seems like kind of a jackass. And it sounds like he and DeFilippo never really got along together that well. Like an endearing jackass, but one maybe you don't want to work for. It sounds like there was a kind of like a conflict there between them, either on how that side of the ball should be run, which that Zimmer's right because he's the head coach, but he's also a defensive-minded head coach. So maybe just let your offensive guy do what he needs to do a little bit and not put all the blame on him when your team doesn't do very well for a couple games. So I think that's part of it. I just think there was a clash between them. The other part of it, and Brian and John, you know how happy this makes me to say, his quarterback is Kirk Cousins, and Kirk Cousins is a garbage pile of a quarterback and a human being.
Unless he's playing the Packers.
I'm so excited. Unless he's playing the Packers, and then also a flag, let him have another chance. But I've never been a huge Cousins fan. Even going back to college, I've never been big on Cousins. When he signed with Minnesota, I got really, really excited. And this is one of the reasons why. Listen, man, like, my thing with him is always he'll give you some big plays. He's also, like, maddeningly inconsistent, and he'll give you a shot for 2 to 3 turnovers per game. Mm-hmm. They went up against some good defenses. They couldn't establish the run, and Cousins couldn't win it for him. And the entire reason they brought Cousins in was to win games like this where they put it on his back, and he couldn't do it. To me, that's not on DeFilippo. That's on Cousins being Cousins. They paid this man money hoping that he was going to be something he's not, and it came back to bite the OC. To me, that's kind of those two things kind of contribute to this. I think if the Packers were seriously looking at DeFilippo, and I'm with you, Brian, I don't know that he was necessarily like top of my list, but he was on a short list for me. He was a guy kind of I'd like to see in there. This firing, given those things, I don't think should knock him off the Packers list. If they liked him enough to interview him, this shouldn't knock him off the list.
Let it be known, Dusty, that your absolute trashing of the Minnesota Vikings has 1 point this evening.
I was going to say, like, he deserves an extra half a point for calling Zimmer an ass. So
I mean, that dude, just the absolute trashing of the Vikings you just did
when I got
should
that
make all of Packer Nation listening so proud.
I don't know if you saw that, so but when proud. I got that side of the coin, I just started smiling very, very big. I was like, I already had it lined up.
Well, congratulations, Dusty, on a long awaited win.
Thank you.
And well deserved. Brothers, it is time for some Twitter questions. The lovely time where we get to just get the feedback from the viewership here and see what they got for us. First question, Stu at Stu Ye West 1. Thoughts on Chris Richard as our head coach? He's straight fire and I would love to see him in Green Bay. Dusty, do you have thoughts on Chris Richard?
I haven't researched him a ton. I know we talked about this a little last week as far as kind of the mindedness of the head coach we wanted. And I definitely fall in the offensive minded head coach camp. So that's kind of where I am. I mean, he seems like, I assume he'd be good. He seems like he knows what he's doing. I honestly just haven't researched him too much as far as how he would fit in, just simply because he falls on the wrong side of the ball for me.
Brian, you have anything to add on Chris Richard?
No, it's pretty much the same. The current Vikings, the Jay Cutler Bears, the current Panthers, it all shows you what happens when you have a revolving door of offensive coordinators with a defensive-minded head coach. And if we could get a really good offensive coordinator and be sure that he wasn't going to leave in a couple years for a head coaching gig, I might entertain this option. But no, I don't think the Packers are in a position to hire a defensive-minded head coach at this point. I think they've got the defensive scheme in place, and they really need – I think they need to double down on coaches on the offense. It needs a lot more fixing right now. So I like Richard. I really do. Jim Widener put up a really good post on Pack to the Future a couple weeks ago, or I guess not a couple weeks ago. It just seems like it's been a really long time since McCarthy was fired. Seriously, it feels like it's been like 9 weeks. It's been just over a week. But yeah, he put one up last week about Richard and how he'd be a good fit. But I just can't, in my mind at this point, justify having a defensive-minded head coach.
All right. The next question we got is from at Pac-Man412. At Pac-Man412-1. Which three Packer free agents have the best chance of being contributors in Green Bay next season? Does anyone have a list of free agents? Because I don't know who the free agents are besides the big boys.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a list here that I'm going to run through. There's right now 22 players There are 22. Now, not all of these guys are big contributors or even seen the field very much. But right now, going into this offseason, the Packers have 22 players that are going to be free agents as of next year. Do you want me just to kind of run through some of the big names all at once, or do you want to go kind of one by one and kind of give quick thoughts on it?
I'd just go all at once, and then we'll say okay. Who we think will be here.
Okay, so I'm going to skip over some of the smaller ones here, but we'll do the big ones. You know, we got, obviously, Clay Matthews and Randall Cobb. We touched on them earlier. I also got Muhammad Wilkerson, Mercedes Lewis, Lance Kendricks. So we got two tight ends right there. Byron Bell, Breshad Breeland, Mr. Pick Six, Breshad Breeland, Jake Ryan, Geronimo Allison, Lucas Patrick, just the brawler, Justin McCray. So between McCray and Bell, that's that same guard spot. Mm-hmm. Adam Pankey, Kentrell Bryce, Reggie Gilbert, Robert Tonyan, Jake Kumerow, and a guy I've kind of wanted to see on. I'm going to include him, even though he kind of breaks the list because he's not he hasn't really seen any time. But I'm excited about him, is Kendall Donerson. So right now, actually, those are now some of these, you know, some of these are unrestricted, some are restricted, and some are exclusive restricted. So, but those are the names, all of whom will be some form of free agent going into this offseason.
So hearing that list, there's some good names on there.
Yeah.
I would think Kentrell Bryce, but I don't think he's picked up this defense at all, and I wouldn't be shocked if we moved on from him next year, unless he was going to be making a switch to linebacker or something, but he doesn't have the ability to play safety here. Breshad Breeland is the biggest name that pops out to me.
Yeah.
Mr. Pick Six. The things being said about him this week have been glowing reviews. J.R. Alexander saying he needs him to be here next year. Breeland came out and said something about the Packers having first dibs on bringing him back, so he clearly wants to be here. Year two in the system, if he can go into the season healthy, I think having him as your cornerback opposite Jair Alexander gives you a lot more flexibility going into free agency in the draft, because, you know, we don't know if King is going to be healthy, and we don't know if Josh Jackson's going to be playing at cornerback or safety. So without Breeland, that cornerback position's way too big of a question mark. So I think he's going to be one of the first to be re-signed. And, yeah, I think he'll have a pretty good year in year two.
I'm the name that jumped out at me, and I've always been a huge fan of this guy, and that's Geronimo.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he's the unsung hero that Rodgers looks to lately. Mm-hmm. when he's out in the field, and what I've seen from him, you know, going into last year, and then obviously what he was able to do in the five games he played this year, I was very impressed again. And I think that he can legit come in and be a number two wide receiver should we let Cobb go.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good one. I really like him as well, and we kind of I can't remember if we talked about it here or not, but I know one of the things going into the year, you know, in the preseason, Kumerow was kind of one of the big guys to kind of come out of the preseason. Then, you know, he was injured. He's finally seen some time, hasn't done a whole lot. But my thing with Kumerow was always kind of, it seems like he brings a lot of the same things that Allison does to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And Allison knows the offense better. Kind of that not elite speed guy, but you know, smart. Good out of breaks, good hands, you know, kind of a good possession guy. And so, yeah, of those two, I'd rather have Allison. I mean, one guy, you know, if we're not talking about the two big names, you know, I'd go Cobb with those big names. And you guys touched on the other guys. I don't know, man. Like, I think I'm going to kind of go McCray. I think I really want to see him. He's not been amazing, but he's had his moments, and he at least knows the offense. I kind of don't want to... I don't really want to go into next year with that guard spot being a big question mark. If you get a guy that
Jari Evans, you don't want Jari Evans back.
is he still playing anywhere? Did he retire?
CFL baby.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I don't know. I just want a little bit of continuity there. So McCray, I think McCray. I kind of like what Tanyan's brought as well, but. And I think McCray will be back, but that's my guy of this list. I think we're going to need to bring back.
I'm also hoping, as an honorable mention, that we bring Muhammad Wilkerson back.
If we're doing those, I'm all in for Mercedes Lewis as well.
Good one.
Good but one. Yeah, Wilkerson,
he had some
I think
snaps this week and looked pretty good.
I think Wilkerson's showing a little bit. Yeah, before he went down, I think he could. I think he could have been huge in this defense. But yeah, I'd be perfectly fine bringing him back.
Oh boys, that is it for the Twitter questions. Thank you for the ones who sent some in. If you missed it this episode, just do it the next up. Just do it the next week. It's fine. We won't think less of you. Anyways. Enjoy the rest of your weeks and look out for another episode of Pack of the Future coming soon. Peace out. Go Pack, go Pack of the Future.